In keeping with this morning, I wish I brought my tube of toothpaste with me. C is come, R is rest, E is enter, S is salvation, and T is trust. Crest. Works. It cleans your teeth whiter than snow. And I'm thankful for what we've heard. You know, you associate things with things, and it helps you to remember things when you put things together. And I'm not that clever, so I don't have any of these things to associate things with, but I am thankful for the help that God has given us and these words that were spoken to us, and may we take them into our hearts and be protected from the stormy blast and for the sun that beats down. Thank God he is a shade and a shield to those of us who put our trust in him. Praise the Lord. I had a professor in school a lot of years ago now. When I was a freshman in college, it's probably true. Now that Sister Edith is gone, I can say this. I used to think professors were really smart people. I thought they were smarter than regular school teachers. I thought that, you know, to teach kindergarten or elementary school, you just had to be one step ahead of them. And to teach high school, you need to be a little smarter. And then I discovered that one of the science teachers was really a music teacher, and he just read the lesson the night before. So then I didn't have too much respect for them. But I thought college professors, they're really the smart ones. In my first year in college, in Queens College as a freshman, I had a professor. I took sociology. I was told that that's an easy 3 credits. And it was. But my professor, Professor Nigel Fisher, he came to school or class, maybe the second or third class that we had. And he came late. You're supposed to wait a little while for, depending on how much they have. Associate professors, you give them a few minutes and then you leave. And if they're a full professor or whatever, then you give them 10, 15 minutes and then you leave. And we're always hoping that they don't come at all. And by moving our watches ahead, oh, it's time, don't you think? No, 2 more minutes, let's wait. And well, he came flying in the door, kind of disheveled, kind of late. And he then started his class and he said, oh, I apologize for being late, but I had a little bit of a problem this morning and a little bit of a dilemma, and I still haven't really solved the problem. And then he went on to tell us what his problem was. And the more he spoke, the more I thought, this man, I don't know, he's brilliant, but he's not so smart. His dilemma was that he had rearranged the furniture in his apartment, and he moved his bed, and his bed was no longer against the wall, but now it was in the middle. And so when he woke up in the morning, he didn't know which side of the bed to get out of. And I have to listen to this guy. And he lay there in a quandary for a while, and so that he became late for class. And I guess he figured it out. I don't know what he did or how he crawled out, but I hope he got up on the right side of the bed. I hope you did too this morning. And I guess I learned real quick in college that although these men are, in one regard, they're probably brilliant. I mean, they author papers and periodicals, and they write books, and they make you buy their books for their class, and their books are so expensive. You got to buy the books and read their books, and I guess I began to understand, and maybe I knew this before, that sometimes all the brains that you have up here, all the smarts that you have, it doesn't always translate into being able to live life in a coherent way. That you could be so brilliant in your mind, but be so unskilled, foolish, as to how to apply everything that you know to life. And some of the most brilliant people, for them, life just doesn't work. They don't know which side of the bed to get out of. They don't know whether to cook in a pot or a pan. They don't know whether to take this or that or do this or that, but they're so smart, they're so brilliant. Reminded me of, I wrote down what the man said, a man that was trying to find out, or not trying to find out, but he wanted to become a deacon in his church. And in their particular church, they did it probably not like you do in your church, but they had tryouts, and it was kind of more politics, and the man was before the board of, the existing board of deacons, trying to get onto the board, And they said to him, well, we want you to tell us something about your biblical knowledge. We want to see what you know about the scriptures. And so could you give us a little synopsis, if you would, in a few sentences, just give a synopsis of the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. And the man, he hardly read the Bible ever in his life. And he didn't know Daniel from Hosea. And he didn't know if it was Old or New Testament. And he didn't know what to do. And so he just began to try to impress them with his knowledge. And this is what he said. Once upon a time there was a man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and the thorns grew up and choked the man. He went on, and he didn't have any money, but he met the Queen of Sheba, and she gave that man 1,000 talents of gold and silver, 100 changes of raiment, and when he was driving along under a big tree, his hair got caught up in a limb. Left him hanging there until Delilah came by and cut his hair. While hanging there for a few days and nights, the ravens came and brought him food to eat and water to drink. And when she came by to cut his hair, he dropped down on stony ground and it began to rain. And it rained 40 days and 40 nights and he hid himself in a cave. Another man went out to the highways and byways and compelled him to come in. He went on and came to the city of, Jerusalem? Jerusalem, and saw Jezebel sitting up there high in a window. And when she saw him, she laughed and said, throw her down. And they threw her down. He said, throw her down again. And they threw her down 70 times seven. And the fragments they picked up were 12 baskets full. Now, whose wife will she be in the judgment? And the board looked and they said, you're in. Totally impressed with what that man knew of the scriptures. You know, we need to know how to apply the scriptures. We need to know how to apply the stuff that we learn. We need to know how to live life. And the one that knows how to live life the best isn't the psychologist or the psychiatrist. It's not the expert, the guidance counselor. I've been to school too. Half of those guidance counselors need guidance. Three quarters need guidance. Whatever it might be. I'm sorry if you're a guidance counselor. I know we got one down there in the village, but we need help. Who's going to teach us how to live? Where are we going to find direction? Are you going to find it from, Oprah Winfrey, is she the one that tells you how to live? Or is it the Springer character, or whatever his name is? Maury Povich? Where do you find how to live life? You read in the newspaper? Where do you get your direction? But this smart person says this is what you're supposed to do, and that brilliant guy says this is what you're supposed to do. You better listen to him, because after all, he's got DDD, BBB, CC, PhD behind his name. He must know a lot of stuff. How do you know how to raise your kids? Well, is it Spock or is it this guy? Or how do we find out how to apply life? Where do you find it all out? Well, I think we find it in the Bible. I think really we find that the Bible tells us if you understand this book and then you understand the author and you let him speak to your heart, that he'll tell you how to apply the stuff that you learn and how to live life to the full. See, God doesn't want your life to be cramped, your style to be cramped, your life to be lived halfway. He knows how to live life to the full. He wants you to enjoy your existence here on earth, and you can. You don't have to go around in a barrel. You don't have to go around less than the potential that God had intended when he created you. He created you to enjoy life, to enjoy the things of this life, in this world, and to enjoy fellowship with him. And through him, we have so much potential. There was a man in the Bible, and he prayed a prayer. And maybe it's a good prayer that we can latch on to for at least this morning, today. He was a smart man, I guess. I don't know how smart he was when he was born. He he had a lot of things going for him. He had a lot of things going against him. But the man had five stepmothers. Now, that's not a whole lot going for you, in my opinion. He had a bunch of half-brothers, and half of his half-brothers were nuts. They did terrible things. He had a father that was like the action figure, the action hero figure. You know, when you go to the, when they went to the store in Jerusalem, whatever it is, when they went to that place and they walked down the aisle, you know, it wasn't G.I. Joe or it wasn't this other crazy thing that you could twist. They got action figures of David. Because David was a smart man, a popular man, a godly man, a good man. David, when you read his resume, it included he was a shepherd boy taking care of thousands of sheep. He was a military hero, a songwriter, a king. He killed a giant, survived Bathsheba Gate, went on to do a lot of other wonderful things in his life. And then his son Solomon, had to take over that kingdom. Large shoes to fill. How do you do this? He had, as I say, a lot of potential. He had been able to study under a godly man as much as he could be with his dad and saw his dad, and his stepmothers didn't get in his way. I don't know all that Solomon went through as a young fellow, but I do know, if you have your Bible, to 2 Chronicles, real quickly, 2 Chronicles chapter 1. When he was put in that position of becoming the king, you remember the story, you know it well. The Lord said to him, Solomon, what do you want? I mean, ask me anything, whatever you want, I'll give to you. Whatever it is, just tell me and I'll give it to you. I mean, that's a loaded question. If the Lord were to ask you this morning, what do you want? What would you like? I'll give you anything you want. Just give me what is your desire and I'll supply it. What would you ask the Lord for? Now, don't everybody say wisdom, because you'll be a liar. I don't know, maybe you would ask that. I hope so. But Solomon could have said, I want a lot of money. A lot of people would have asked for a lot of money. A lot of people would ask for, you know, straight A's in college all the way through to graduate school. Some people would have asked for 4'2" eyes of blue. Some people would ask for an extreme makeover. I don't know what you'd ask for, but there are a lot of things you could. And I guess Solomon, maybe, I don't know if his mind ran the gamut, probably not, but we do read in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, beginning with verse 8, Solomon, well, let me start with 7. That night God appeared to Solomon and said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered God and said, you've shown great kindness to David, my father. You've made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father be confirmed. You have made him king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Verse 10, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom, give me knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? Give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. Give me understanding. We got 5 minutes. Let me ask you a question. What's wisdom? Give me wisdom. What is he asking for? What does he want? What's wisdom?
Applying knowledge.
The right application of knowledge.
How to lead those people.
How to rightly lead those people. Yeah. Anybody else? I think I'd agree with what you've said. I found a definition that somebody wrote down. This is what they thought it meant, and I kind of appreciated it. It said, wisdom is the acquired art of skillful living. Wisdom is the embodiment of God-centered, Christ-like, character-driven, common sense way of living. Wisdom is the path that leads to God. Wisdom is characterized by mercy, humility, discipline, respect for authority, teachability, and honesty. Now, that may be too big a definition, but wisdom, biblically speaking, is not just the right application of knowledge, but it's an application of knowledge that leads us in a godly vein. It is an application of Christ's likeness, His attributes, His character, His nature, applied to our way of living that enables us to live life according to His pattern, His program, His plan. And it is best for Him to have His way with us. And so, if in closing I could just read to you a little bit of what Solomon wrote after he asked the Lord, "Lord, give me wisdom." The Lord answered his prayer. The Lord answered his prayer right away by saying, "Solomon, it pleases," it says in 2 Kings or 1 Kings 3, I don't know which it is, but it's in the Kings, "the thing that Solomon asked pleased the Lord." And because Solomon asked something that pleased the Lord, it says the Lord not only gave him wisdom, but gave him riches, and gave him wealth, and gave him this, that, and the other thing, and accumulated all the stuff that he had amassed because he asked for wisdom. You know, when you have wisdom, the Lord can entrust with you other junk, because the Lord knows that your wisdom will allow you to use what he gives to you in a way that will please him. You won't go nuts with the stuff and get all bogged down in the things that you have been given, but you will know how to apply those things in a proper manner. This is what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3. Just a few verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with wisdom. Long life is in her hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed." In chapter 4, verse 5, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you." Same chapter, verse 7, "Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all that you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you." Now it goes on and it says a lot more in these early chapters about wisdom. But I'd like to just leave you this morning with that thought, that prayer, that short prayer. Lord, give us wisdom. Teach us how to live. Teach us how to apply the things that you speak to us in your word. Teach us how to incorporate them in our daily lives. To seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and everything else you'll add to us. Help us, Lord, to know how to do that. It's more important than gold and silver, than rubies. It's more important than anything else in life. Solomon says, get wisdom. We read that Jesus in Luke chapter 2, I think it's the last verse. Jesus Christ, we read, as a young man, as he was growing, grew. It says he grew in wisdom. He grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus grew in wisdom. Jesus was learning and learned more all the time how to apply the things that were spoken and taught to him by his Father in heaven, how to apply them to the daily course of life. You read in James chapter 1, I think it's the 5th verse, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not." Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, go with us. Help us to live in your presence. Oh Lord, strengthen our hands. Dear Lord, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this request of Solomon's, Lord. The man was overwhelmed by the potential, the things that were before him in his life. He didn't know which direction to run and didn't know where to go, didn't know what to do. But we thank you for this request that was granted him of you. And we ask, Lord, that you'll help every one of us to get wisdom. Lord, not just to get smarts, not just to get ideas, not just to be able to have a ready mind, but to be able to apply to life in a common sense way, in a godly fashion, so that, Lord, we can live life to the full. We thank you, Jesus, that you have our best interest in your heart. And we ask you, dear Father, to unravel to us the treasures, the wisdom that every one of us needs to go through this life. Cover us with your blood today. Keep us in your presence, Lord, and go with us as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.